Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Okay, listeners, we are so excited to be back with you again today. And we are at a special place and a special event. We are in Marion, North Carolina, the big metropolis of Marion. If you don't know where it's at, look it up on the map. And we are at the Salt and Light Conference. And our podcast team has been invited back again this year with Jack Bells and myself to interview people that have messages and inspirations about Christian faith and politics and what's going on in our nation. And wow, we have our first, this is our first message from this event. And we are with Pastor Jesse Haley. And it's amazing how God puts people in front of you. Last year, we interviewed Jason Williams, who is very influential in the Salt and Light organization. And this man sitting next to me, Jason, introduced us to him. And Jesse said his messages led Jason to salvation. And so, wow, what Jesse is doing now is incredible. I know Jack wants to start us off with a question for Jesse, and then we'll just take it from there and see where it goes.
Great. Thanks, Herb. Welcome. We're glad to have you aboard today. And as Herb mentioned, we are so pleased to have this gentleman with us today. And we always start off with all of our interviewees. We ask them, how was it that you came to Christ? So give us your testimony, brother.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I'm super excited to be with y'all today and appreciate what y'all are doing. Well, when I was 16 years old, I heard the gospel for the I won't say for the first time, maybe the second time. I was raised in a home where, as a kid, you know, as far back as I can remember, I was the kid that would be passing the joint around the room at my parents' parties. And,
the joint, you mean? The
marijuana. Joint. I mean, my parents' friends out, you know, shooting out lights in the street and just fighting crazy stuff going on. And kind of the way I was raised, and I mean, I probably tried marijuana myself the first time when I was 5 or 6, something like that, kind of led into a life of drugs early on, and I was following after a really destructive lifestyle. And through the course of that, you know, getting into drugs, getting into heavier drugs, born and raised in Gastonia, North Carolina, and but a friend of mine, his grandpa passed away, so I went to his grandpa's funeral, you know, like a friend would do. And it was at Harvest Baptist Church, and the preacher got up there and preached the gospel. And you know, you don't see this very often, but at the end of the service, James Ellis, the preacher, he's with the Lord now, but he gave the gospel. Then he said, hey, he said, and if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, why don't you raise your hand so I can pray for you at a funeral? And so I kind of raised my hand. I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I? But the Lord was working on my heart. Well, I didn't get saved that night, but over the next few weeks, the Lord just kept working on my heart, and men from the church actually would come and try to follow up, because, of course, I didn't know the preacher was going to tell people that I raised my hand that I wasn't saved, but they would come around, try to get me back to church. And the thing that actually finally culminated after a few weeks after that is I'd had a kind of a bad trip on LSD, and I was coming out of that, and it just kind of hit me as I was sobering up that, man, this just stinks. You know, I knew I couldn't get high enough to stay high enough to find that true satisfaction and feel that missing peace. And I was with a friend of mine, it's probably 2 or 3 in the morning. And I'm like, man, this is rock bottom. It's like, this isn't life. And he just said, man, he said, I know what we need to do. He said, we need to get saved. He had actually was brought up in church. And I was like, well, how do you do that? And he's like, well, I know it says something about it in the Gospel of John. So we just opened up to the Gospel of John and started reading. And as we read, the Lord just was continued to speak to my heart. And I began to see my need for Christ. And I'd always believed that Jesus died and rose again. And everything I'd heard about Christ, I believed. But it wasn't until then that I realized why Jesus went to the cross, you know, to pay for my sins and for me. There was a part of me that was still holding on to that life that I was living. And I felt like I come to a crossroads that night to where I either accept Christ, but it's like, man, but if I accept Christ, the plans I have for this coming weekend are going to be different. I said, you know what? I need Jesus. And I accepted Jesus. That was October 10th of 1992. And I haven't been the same since. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's great. We are excited, one, that you received Christ, of course, which was the first and most important step.
Amen.
But the next, one of the steps that you've taken is, as I understand it, you felt the call of God to become a pastor. Can you discuss that? How did that work? How did that come about?
Well, you know, early on after I got saved, I felt like the Lord was leading me in that direction, but it's hard to know. And then you go ask preachers, and at least in the circles in the back, my background, one of the things that got me was a lot of the preachers I would ask, hey, how do you know if God's calling you to preach? And a lot of them, their answer would be, well, if you want to, God's probably not wanting you to. Because so many preachers do the run. I ran from the call, you know, and I'm like, well, I really want to, not out of ambition. It's just, this is what I fit. But I'm just taking their advice. So, well, I guess I'm disqualified if wanting to, you know, disqualifies you. But as time went on, the Lord just still kind of kept leading my heart in that direction. I had great people that discipled me from the church, men that took me in, began to teach me the word of God. I had a great desire to learn and tell others what I've learned. And I did this thing in our background, you know, we'd call it pew preaching. It wouldn't be uncommon in many of our church services where someone says, has anybody got a testimony for the Lord? Something to say for the Lord. And so I would jump up and testify, but they'd call it pew preaching because I'd end up preaching for 5 minutes or something, you know.
Wow. People.
So, but still, it's like, I was just on fire for the Lord. But, and this is where kind of things start tying into salt and light. There was a youth camp in Jefferson, North Carolina that I had gone to. Great youth camp. And again, just really, really emphasis on young people getting saved and serving the Lord. And during the course of this, God was working on my heart like he had been. But honestly, this one particular night during the youth camp, I was actually going forward. There was people going to the altar even before the preacher preached, just kind of the way this camp was. And I went down to pray for my mom because at that time my mom wasn't saved. And as soon as I got down to pray for my mom, before a word could come out of my mouth, I knelt down there and just knew that God wanted me to preach. And I just stayed there a minute because I'd been asking, Lord, let me know. How can I know? And I just knelt down. As soon as I hit my knees, I just knew. And I stayed down there for a few minutes, pretty much speechless. But afterwards, I got up and told the pastor that moderates the camp. He's actually going to be here tonight, which I'm excited about. Yeah. And I think Jason's plan is to introduce everyone to him and myself and share a little bit of this on tomorrow afternoon, right before lunch. Good. So, but I got up and told him, I said, hey, Pastor Melton, God just called me to preach. And he said, okay, so well, tell us about it. So I got up and started telling people about what God, well, the next thing you know, I started kind of getting excited and kind of preaching a little bit. So John Melton says, somebody get him his Bible. Somebody get him his Bible. Go ahead and preach. So I got my Bible and I preached. I ended up being the preacher that night and preached, you know, half hour, 45 minute message, I guess, and preach the gospel, you know, that Jesus died and shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. And several people come forward and got saved that night. But among those, there was, and I can't remember if he was 11 or 12 years old, but an 11 or 12 year old Jason Williams come forward and got saved that night. So that's how I went coming to the ministry. And that's been 27 years ago. Now that was 1995.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I got to mention something. I'm going to mention another Jesse. And this is Jesse Connors, who we interviewed not too long ago. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, Jesse Connors is the founder of TrueLife.org.
Hmm.
And Jesse has a quote. I don't know where he got the quote. The quote is, "Don't bring the farmers to church on Sunday unless you give them seeds to sow on Monday."
Hmm.
So you've been sowing seeds. I learned before we started this interview that you are really involved in planting churches. So share with us about those seeds you're planting.
Yeah, well, you know, I surrendered to preach, and, you know, which again is amazing in and of itself. I feel like I'll say this real quickly, if I could, just testimony wise. After I got saved, I can remember there was a couple years after this, I'd already surrendered to the ministry, but I was friends with the guy that we would buy marijuana and stuff from and some other drugs, but we were friends at the same time. He was an older guy. It's like not a great situation, but it's what it was in my life at that time. But I saw him. His dad was in the hospital dying, and so I went to the hospital to visit his dad. We were on the elevator together, and he says, "Jesse," he said, "you know, out of all the guys that you used to run around with, and sometimes you're hoping that's going to be followed up by, you know, you were really something else." He said, "You were the one that I didn't think would make it to 20 years old. You'd end up dead in a ditch somewhere." He's like, "You were the one that I knew you'd either be in prison or you'd be dead before you turned 20 years old." And just to give you that background, but then my pastor, many years later, this has probably been just 15 years ago, he preached in our church and through Bible college and the whole thing. But he got up and said, "Jesse," he said, "You know, out of all the guys in Bible college, and out of all the preachers that you were running around with, Jesse, you were the one that I knew would never make it. So this is the guy you're talking. This is the guy that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise."
Amen.
But through the course of all this, I was willing to go anywhere and do anything God wanted me to do, anywhere in the world that God wanted me to go. And out of all the places, well, one place God was, I had people praying for a solid year, people recruiting me to go to a small island called Anguilla. And
it's
in the Caribbean. Yeah, okay, it's in the Caribbean. It's a small, it's this beautiful place. I mean, recruiting me, reaching out to me, trying to get me to come there. And I was willing to go, but well, God, I need to go where you want me to go. And I bring that up because about a year later, the Lord clearly laid on my heart that he wanted me to go out to South Dakota to plant churches. And there's a vast difference between the Caribbean and South Dakota, let me tell you, in the wintertime or anytime. Yes, yes. But yeah, the Lord laid on my heart that, you know, growing up in North Carolina, I thought everywhere in the world had churches all over the place and people knew the gospel and everybody had Bibles out on their tables and whatever. But there's this whole, I mean, county after county after county out there without churches that are truly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, right here within our country, people living their whole lives, dying, going into a crisis eternity without having the opportunity to hear the clear presentation of the gospel. That's many places in the world, but God laid on my heart to go to South Dakota. So in 2002, my wife and I and family, two kids at that time, moved to the state capital of South Dakota, started a church right there in the state capital. And then we stayed there about 9 years. And my heart is to follow the New Testament pattern, which is to train, you know, God has to do the calling of preachers, but to train men. And in our case, one of those men God called that we were training, God called him to preach. And so he actually took over the church that I started there. We moved about 12 years ago down to where we are now in Elk Point, South Dakota. Started a church there in a little town of 2,000 people. It's a really rural ministry, but there's a great need. We have people coming to Christ. And man, I could tell you, I could talk all day about that as well. But we started that church about 12 years ago. And even during the course of that time, I've got a heart to continue to plant churches. I want to stay in an Elk Point is my goal. But as we do that, I want to help start churches in other communities. We have one that's like 15 miles from us that I had gone over there and prayed, and we saw a building. And I'm like, "Lord, give us this building. I believe you want us to start a church or to do a relaunch here." And another young man that had been saved, and then I was able to train within the church. God began to lay on his heart. He was going to help me with this, but he ended up going over there. And so now there's another church technically that was kind of relaunched out of our church. And that happens to be my son-in-law now also, but and that he's been there a couple of years, but we're just, still reaching in. We're in a town of 2,000 people, but we have people from Nebraska, from Iowa that drive from nearly an hour away.
Wow.
Coming, and we're seeing people saved regularly. But my heart is to now go where they are in Nebraska, where they are in Iowa, and start works there as well, so they can have a good gospel witness, as well as, like you talk about, the seeds. Yes. So that they can also, follow the Great Commission. I mean, teaching people about Christ, and then, bringing them to Christ, baptizing them, and then discipling them so they can lead others to Christ and disciple them.
Yep.
So how long did you be in this area?
Just till we leave Tuesday morning.
So you came down from up north?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Just to come to
Salt and Light. Wow. Yeah, I've been coming. I missed the very first one, but I've been coming down, and I come down here to be a part of it. I come down here and I volunteer and work wherever I'm needed. And I'm telling you this, you guys know how God's using Salt and Light to really engage and energize Christians in the state of North Carolina. I mean, and the influence on policy in the state of North Carolina that Christians are now having because of Faith and Freedom and Jason Williams in North Carolina. This is this is an amazing thing that God's doing right here.
Yeah, it is. Amen. The emphasis that has sprang out now, this, I was born in 1951, okay, a long time ago, so almost 72 years ago. We never heard of the word woke, except that you were asleep in the bed.
Yeah.
And then you woke up. You woke up.
Yeah.
But this whole business about being woke, being transgender. When I was in school, Herb was in school, you were in school, we all knew what a girl was.
Yes.
Nobody had to specifically educate you or define it. We knew what it was. What do you think has brought all this insanity about it? What has brought it? And then secondly, what can we do?
Well, darkness. I mean, and it's just no question about it. This is a spiritual war for the souls of men. And you don't have to dig too far at all to find out where this whole woke business come from. I mean, it came straight out of Marxism, and interestingly enough, it's some of these same principles that are associated with woke. They find their heart with Lenin and Stalin. And, you even go back to, whether you get the political side or you get the spiritual side, if you want to say that, from Darwin and, Freud from a psychological side, but it's a satanic thing, to sexualize and ultimately pervert God's creation. And that's why this is, it's like, oh, now we're getting to political issues. Well, you can call it that, but what happened is, these issues aren't, they may be in the political realm, and they are, but this is Christian issues. I mean, Marxism, Karl Marx himself speaks of being inspired by Satan. This is a Satanistic deal. And so this is something that's been in the works now for, over 100 years, and it's just now manifesting itself. But we understand that's where the woke ideal comes from. And it is contrary to the word of God. And then what we can do about it is, I believe it starts, Alexis de Tocqueville, when he sought for the greatness of America, he said he sought for it in the ports and the fields and the halls of Congress and all these things. But he said he truly found the greatness of America when he entered into the churches of America, and he found the pulpits aflame with righteousness.
Yes.
And so I believe it starts in the churches. I believe it starts with the preaching. Listen, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And with the name of this conference being Salt and Light, that's the answer to what we do. I look at the people, I'm in a public school several days a week. I have the opportunity to go in there and share the gospel and mentor. Wow. And the Lord's blessed in that.
In the public school.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I'm invited there. The football coach wants me. He wants me at every practice that I can possibly be at. I get to share.
So the word. The football games?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, and I say all that to say, coming back to the woke thing, what we see is I look at the people who are deceived by this ideology and the young people that are being doctrinalized by this ideology. I see them as hostages, as victims. And we got to understand some of those aren't the people that's our enemy. It's the ideology with these satanic roots. And so with truth and love, we reach them. We don't compromise the truth. We love them, and we want to see them rescued from this absolute deception and perversion. And with the fact that these things are being instituted in the halls of Congress, in state houses and so forth, school boards, right along the line. So salt and light, what do we do about it? Preachers keep preaching. Christians keep witnessing. Christians get involved in the process, support good candidates, support organizations that are trying to help get good candidates, because we are told to be salt and light. We are not doing our job if we keep this in the four walls of the church. That is not what we've been called to do. We've been called to impact our world. Yeah. It was said of David that he served his generation, and we serve our generation from getting outside of the four walls. And honestly, this is a mission. This is part of the mission. It's not about Democrat. We're not just an extension of the Republican platform or anything like that. No, we've got a greater, higher calling that really requires for us to be involved in this. And so when we have people, whether we have good Christians that are in office and school boards and county commission right on down the line. But when we've got people, whether they're saved or not, if they're working on our cause and in line with the word of God and truth, man, then those are people that we're willing to support and line up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned the Faith and Freedom Conference, and it's so important that they're bringing the message to the people of our state. And people, we have politicians that are here today. I have a friend from Ukraine who's come to the United States. And last year he was here meeting with politicians. And the objective of their conference was to learn how to bring God into government. Can you imagine? We need to bring God into our government.
Absolutely.
It doesn't say, it's one nation under God.
Yes, sir.
How do we do that?
Well, I mean, we just get back to our founding principles. Started in what, the early 1900s is where some of these, where public education began to be attacked, to where they tried to, again, getting these Marxist ideas in. But by the time you got to the 50s, it's the education system turned around. Yeah. So, I mean, and to where all of a sudden, by the time people 100 years ago, well, I shouldn't say 100, say 150 years ago, they were learning about the true history of America. Because I know what we learned was a lot better than what they're learning now. But we were still, it's interesting that the guys that were professed deists, those were the main founders that we would learn about. But prior to that, we would learn about John Locke, and we would learn about the influence of Christianity. Folks, this country started, the reason we have the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution of the United States, is directly associated with the Great Awakening that took place in our country the years prior to that. That's what this country is based on. That's where we come from. So the fact that people are trying to have expelled God from the political arena, that's not the American ideal. So there again, I think we just get people back to the truth and get back to what we really are as Americans. And that's what we're missing. People thinking like, oh, you're trying to turn this into, it's like, no, we just want to be what we were founded as and stay on with the Constitution and these principles that were, quite frankly, based, and I know on some different other philosophies through the years, but I'm telling you, primarily the word of God, the laws of God, the principles of God, from personal property to identity and marriage, all these things that seem like, oh, don't touch political things. It's like, wait, these are direct assaults on God. So I think the way is just with what's going on here, salt and light, it's getting the message out. It's getting the people to understand that this is where we really come from.
Yes. Thank you so much for saying that. What disturbs me in now that I'm at this point and we're at this point, 2023, is that we have pastors that are, they don't touch. They keep the Bible over here and politics over here, and they won't run it through, seeing that, well, politics is over there, and that's that, and the gospel's over here. No, it's not. Mm-hmm.
It's part of life, and the gospel touches, and I'm preaching to the choir, gospel touches every area of your life,
right.
And that includes politics.
Yeah.
Now, since you have been called to train pastors, how do we get over this hump? Because I know that our home church, where we are, we can beg, because we have a big church, we could beg that host us all alike. And Herb and I both feel that even if we got on our knees and begged, our pastor wouldn't agree to it, because he wants to keep politics over here. I've sat in his office and talked with him about some of these things.
Right.
He wants to keep politics over here and the gospel over here. Well, like we said, they met. So my question is this. As you are training pastors, what is your approach to help people get over this hump?
Well, that's a great question, Jack, because, you know, for one thing, to say, where does it start? It starts with just preaching and teaching the Bible. And I believe God's given us the Bible. I believe he's given it to us in order. And if you just preach the word of God, and if we'll preach it verse by verse and not just pick and choose, you know, topics and things and favorite verses and passages, you cannot preach through the Bible without addressing the issues. These issues that we consider political issues, I just finished a series on 2 Thessalonians. Well, in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about those that don't work shouldn't eat. It talked about those that were infringing upon. So, well, then I guess we're going to talk a little bit about welfare now. Oh, and no, not in the church. That's not gotten. Well, no, I'm just preaching the Bible. But it just makes no sense to, you know, you think about the preaching and teaching Jesus did in the open air, the things that took place. Basically, the people shouldn't come to church and not have answers to the issues that they're facing every day, because there are answers in the Word of God.
Amen.
So, you know, private property, it's all these things that we don't think. So, number one, it starts with just preaching and teaching the Word of God. And as God's men, that has got to be our priority to God's men and Christians, period. We're God's mailmen, right? We do not get to pick and choose what the message is. We say, here's the mail. You don't get mad at the mailman when he brings you a bill, when he brings you junk mail, whatever you might think it might be. So what we do, I don't have the authority to pick and choose. This is God's word. But now with that, I will say one of the tricky things as far as wisdom that goes is that when you understand and this gets real tricky and real sticky. A lot of churches, if they were inspired today and said, you know what, Sunday, I'm just coming in, guns blazing. I'm going all out. I'm preaching. I'm going to make up for the years I haven't preached on this, and I'm just going at it. Well, the thing is, many of those preachers would be searching for a new church this time next week, okay? Now, that doesn't excuse anything. We got to take a stand for righteousness, but this is where you get into the debate. Is that what you do? Or do you say, okay, you know what? I've been negligent in my preaching and teaching of these issues. But I'm going to be faithful to teach the word of God. So I'm going to begin to do that. And just like I said, we don't pick and choose. I just preach through the Bible. I come across these issues. Some of these things come up big in our, you know, in the news, people things are dealing with. Well, maybe that's an opportunity to teach people. So I come in and say, okay, here's what God's word says about this. And so I think a pastor can be wise and patient in his approach, but he needs to be somewhere. There's no excuse for just saying that we are not talking about that here. You know, I understand a pastor that's trying to maybe gradually turn up the heat, so to speak. You know, and some may not agree with that, but as a pastor, I can understand that. But to just say, absolutely not, we're not touching these issues. It's like, well, you're going to have to ignore much of the Bible in order to do that. So,
okay. So Jesse, you're in our first message here. So what would be your closing message to listeners who are going to see this video and then listen to our podcast? What would be your last message to them?
Well, Herb and Jack, you know, number one, I just thank y'all for having this podcast, you know, and just the desire that you have to, you know, do basically salt and light. You know, it's just another platform, another opportunity. So I thank you guys for what you're trying to do. And I think my number one thing would be is if you do not know Christ as Savior, I'd have to say, make sure you know Christ as Savior. And embrace, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And, you know, I believe that our way of life in America is, you know, kind of is an example of that. Take advantage. Jesus said we're to be salt and light. Just speak the truth to people. You know, go to school board meetings. I mean, the mistake that a lot of Christians make, and it's not a mistake, but people in general, including Christians, love national politics, you know, and they love the big elections, but they miss the city council elections. They miss the school board meetings and school board elections. And then we sit back and complain about what they're doing. It's like, well, number one, go to these meetings. Number two, vote on these people. Number three, maybe you should be number one, run for one of these positions, get involved in the process. So I think that would be one of the things that I would say. And always remember to speak the truth in love. You know, again, many of the people that have been the young people, you think about the college kids these days, they have been deceived. They're in darkness. And, you know, don't be as concerned. I'll say this. Don't be as concerned with winning the argument as a Christian as you are with winning a heart and a soul. Try to have a conversation. Try to have discourse. Know the truth so that you can say, well, what brings you to that conclusion? Why do you think that? Try to have a conversation and understand that just because people have been deceived in this, that doesn't make them our enemy. The ideology is our enemy. It's the same way as somebody that's been deceived in some false religion. They don't know any better. That's just what they've been taught. Well, it's our job as salt and light to communicate these truths. And it's a great opportunity. So take advantage. I mean, endeavor is a word the Bible uses in the New Testament. Endeavor, strive. I mean, and take advantage of every opportunity that God gives you just to share his word with somebody and share his love and truth with somebody. So I think that would be the short of it.
Thank you, Jesse.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you for your time. We're looking forward to seeing you at this rest of this conference, and Lord willing, maybe next year at another conference.
Yes, sir.
We're excited now.
How can we pray for you?
I think I would say in the endeavors, you know, in the there's spiritual warfare. You know, we're talking about warfare, and man, I've got a heart and a plan. I'm trying to reach souls. God's letting us reach souls, plant churches. You know, I think that's the thing, just for continued wisdom, continued guidance. Man, it's all him, and just the patience on my part to just keep looking to the Lord and keep letting him do his work, and just to continue to let the word of God find a lodging place in the hearts of those that we're sharing the gospel with. So I think that would be it.
All right.
Well, listeners, we are so excited to have Jesse with us and be able to share his message to you all. And Jesse, thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Jack.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
So tune in, and we'll be posting these on Facebook and on our podcast site. So thank you all for listening to Message 1 from Salt and Light.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately,
God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.' No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, 'Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.' Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.